It is Coast FM, getting on towards 1 o'clock. Latest news in just a mo, and then, of course, having a bit of a natter with somebody who I think you'd probably describe as a bit of a character. More about the life of Graham Swain after news. Live across the Casablanca 24/7, this is Coast FM. Good afternoon, Marvin Gaye. How sweet it is to be loved by you. 8 minutes past one. It's always nice when we have somebody in for a natter, as we often do here on Coast FM. I'm not quite sure how we describe Graham Swain. I think I'm going to let him do that. Graham, good afternoon. Welcome to Coast FM.
Good afternoon.
Now, Graham is journalist, broadcaster, petrol head, possibly.
Possibly.
How would you describe yourself? Because, I mean, you've been an actor.
I always tell everybody I'm a jack of all trades, master of absolutely nothing. Basically.
But you love it.
But you love it, yes. I mean, I've got a low boredom threshold, so whatever comes along in the media business, I get involved with, basically. But if it involves motoring, travel, leisure and entertainment, you're there.
Okay, so where did it all start off?
I think probably, ignoring my other business ventures, which we'll touch on later probably, I started out as a DJ at the very tender age of 16, doing the old mobile stuff with the two turntables and then pennies on the stylus to stop it bumping up and down.
Whereabouts?
Oh, London.
Right.
London and the home counties, as they say, which wasn't in those days. It was Middlesex and whatever. But, yeah, so started there and it went from there. I just found, had a natural, like yourself, probably had a natural aptitude for the microphone, wasn't afraid of it, and anything that involved a microphone and or subsequently television cameras and whatever.
So you've got into the TV side of it. I'm just trying to think that how people here on the Casablanca would know you best. TV, possibly?
Depends what age they are. I mean, I was on Top Gear on the radio for 5 years on Radio 5 before it came Radio 5 Live. Steve Berry, who used to do the motorcycle stuff, which you may remember on Top Gear, he presented the radio version of that every Saturday morning. I was one of the 6 feature presenters on that. So that's one of my sort of claims to fame, if you want to put it that way. Obviously, everything's on my website, www.grahamswain.com, if they really want to know who I am. But it went from there. I got involved with a radio station, Harlow Essex, which is 1017, which used to be part of Essex Radio. I was one of the 12-man team that set that up as a community radio station, subsequently became a commercial radio station. What a surprise. And it went from there, basically. So that's how it sort of launched pad from there. And as you know, in this business, you tend to evolve and morph through into other things as you go on.
Now, you're not a resident here in Spain.
No.
But you are a regular
here. I'm a regular here, back to Oliva. My sister owns 2 houses in the old part of Oliva, the old cobbly back streets of Oliva. She introduced me to it. She bought a couple of houses over here, and I came over to have a look and stay over there. Liked it. And I find it's a very therapeutic place to come back to because it's got the best of everything. You've got all the resort-style stuff. You've got, if you want it, Benidorm down the road. You've got Valencia one way, Alicante the other way, and you've got Gandia, the Spanish resort. But you've also got Oliva, which is a proper Spanish working town with the orange groves, etc., etc.
They're great. I mean, we spent a couple of weekends with some friends, and they had a place in Orba.
Yeah.
Which is great, fabulous little Spanish village, and it is a fabulous place to
be. Absolutely, I mean, you go along the 332, all right, that's the coast road, but you just go up to Pigo and go up into the mountains, suddenly you're in Spain. Proper. You know, they couldn't care less what's going on down on the coast, that's bringing the revenue on, you can get on with it down there, we'll get on with being Spanish up in the hills. So you've got the whole contradiction in terms within a few miles, and that's great. And that's what I like, because I'm not a great resorty person, you know, purpose-built resorts, because I find them incredibly tedious and boring. But something that's got something for everyone. If you want to go into a local Spanish bar, you've got that in Oliva. You want to go somewhere else and want to get your egg and chips, you can get that. You know, you can't you?
The nice thing about it is, some of the things that you remember from home, fish and chips, bread pudding, Scotch eggs and pork pies, they're actually better here than they ever were at home.
Well, that is true. Apparently there's this thing about they make better tea here now as well. I've not yet found that, but I'm told it is true.
I've just made you a cup of tea. What's wrong with that?
You're English, Bob.
Ah, I see. Okay, Graham is my guest. We shall be back talking some more in just a moment. I think I've got my hands full this afternoon.
Advertising on Coast FM works. Advertising on Coast FM works. Just ask these companies.
Great version of a classic old song, Daryl Hall and John Oates. Almost their latest. They have got a new one out, which we'll be playing for you shortly. But that's I'll Be Around. It's 1:17, Coast FM. Good afternoon. So Graham Swain is our guest. He's here having a bit of a natter about all things, really. And I know you got into motoring in a big way. I mean, where did that all come from?
I was working on 1017 as a feature correspondent, which, as I said, I was involved with setting up this radio station in Harlow. I sent off demo tapes like we all do, aspiring to do bigger things, and I suddenly got a call from the BBC that they were starting to do a radio version of Top Gear on Saturday mornings, as I said, presented by Steve Berry, who was one of the presenters on the TV show. And they said, like what you sent in, would you do a couple of features for us? And 5 years later, I was still doing it until the show ended. So that's how it happened, really. And I was the one, well, surprise, surprise, I went up and did all the wacky features. I didn't do, this is a new car, it's got four doors and an engine. I interviewed someone in a funny car drag racer going down the drag strip and things like that, you know, as we were going down the drag strip, for instance. I couldn't see a bloody thing, but I mean, we were, you know.
Now, all of that sort of led on to various other things. I mean, the I noticed a big part of your website talks about this thrust...
Thrust SSC.
The Richard Noble attempt on... What explain?
Well, I was working... for Top Gear, and Mark Kellins, who was the producer, obviously you pitch ideas to him and say, yeah, go with that. And actually, this was starting out. It took a five-year gestation period with Thrust SSC, and Richard was known as the world record holder anyway in Thrust, as it was. Incidentally, a little anecdote on that. The original Thrust that he broke the world speed record about 640 miles an hour and held that for 14 years. He drove that one. They didn't have telemetry on the cars in those days in the 80s, but when they programmed all the stuff into computers about his run, they found that if he'd gone 1 mile an hour faster, he would have taken off vertically. Yeah. And when they did that, when they're setting up Thrust SSC, he promised his wife he wouldn't drive after that. Just a little aside there, but it's frightening to think that's how much on the edge he was when he broke the world record in the original Thrust. Mm. Thrust SSC obviously stands for Supersonic Challenge. So I put it to the producer and said, look, I think this is a good one. I think they're going to do it. He said, no way they're going to do it. He said, you know, typical Richard Noble, he's doing it on a shoestring, you know, what's it or bust. I won't use the word, but I think we know what we mean there. And I said, no, he'll do it. And we had a private bet. And I then, over the five-year period, as I worked, I did little update features all during the 5 years. So obviously Richard Noble got to know me very well. I turned up when they ran it on Farnborough Airport Strip at 200 miles an hour as a demo for all the journalists and everything. Because these things take a very long gestation period building up the car and testing it. And then Richard rang me up out of the blue. He said, Graham, he said, great idea, Graham. He said, we're going out to the Al Jafra Desert, he said, to do some speed trials. He said, we need you out there. You're absolutely brilliant. I've been real admirer of your features. You know, I said, yes, Richard. And what equipment? Oh, no, we've got no equipment. You have to sort all that. He said, well, where are we? Oh, we're in the Jordanian Air Force Base in the Al Jafra Desert. No air conditioning, concrete bunkers, very primitive. And I had a week to get all the gear together and get out there and do this. And what I did the global radio for him on the internet. So what we were doing, as we were doing the speed trials every day, I was going around recording everything, what was going on, working through the night with like a tiny little light bulb and a concrete bumper, sweating profusely, editing this on tape because digital wouldn't work because it was too hot out there, you know. So it's the old tape, cut and splice. Then I take it in the morning to the guy who did all the internet, and he'd download this 5 to 8 minute feature, which went out over their global radio. And we had, I think we're getting over 1 million hits a day on it.
Mm. So what was the upshot of that?
They broke the sound barrier, as you know. They broke the, and they still hold it. Andy Green, who was the driver, who was the tornado pilot, he went through that thing on one of these BBC TV series to find the driver, which was good publicity for Richard to do that. And they broke it. They went out to Black Rock Desert after the... I went out with them to Al Jafra Desert in Jordan. And then after that, that was in the May. And in the September, they got up to 500-odd miles an hour on speed trials there. And then in September, they went out to Black Rock Desert in Nevada, in America, which is the only desert surface that can take those sort of speeds. Mm. And they broke it at 762 miles an hour, the first car to ever go through the sound barrier on land.
Gracious.
And the shockwaves broke all the windows in Gerlach, the nearest town 5 miles away. But every window in the town blew out.
Good Lord. Did you get a chance to have a drive or even sit in the thing?
Oh, I sat in it, yeah, but God, no, you can't drive it. I mean, it's a horrendous car. It's actually capable of doing 1,000 miles an hour. They'll never do it now. It's in Coventry Speed Museum now. But it's an incredible car. And just another letter, the guy who designed it on the back of a fare packet in about 5 minutes, the shape of it, and it virtually never deviated from that shape.
Do you think there's going to be a point where anybody's going to try that again, or is there no longer a point, or is it the thing?
The next is 1,000 miles an hour. That's the next barrier.
Can you actually do that on the
land? Yes, it's physically possible. I mean, Thrust SSC was capable of doing it. The guy who designed it, he actually was involved with the Blue Street Rockets and things like that in way back, so he's a jet engine designer. And I remember sitting out there in the old wee small hours, you know, chewing the fat in the Al Jafra Desert. We were out there for 4 weeks, and it was 40-plus degrees out there. It's incredible. He said it's physically possible. It can be done. you can then keep it. But it's fine in some way. You've got a long enough stretch to run on and run off stretches, because although you do it over a measured mile, you actually had a 14-mile stretch. You have to run the car out to build up the speed, go through the measured mile and come out the other side.
Enough space to stop.
Exactly so. Yeah.
You can't do that sort of speeds on Route 66, but I think you've done some of it, and I think we'll come back and talk a bit about Route 66 in just a moment. I feel a song coming on as well in a while. There's Pretenders now. Great music across the Casablanca. It is Coast FM. Good afternoon, Pretenders. Don't get me wrong. It's always nice when we got somebody in for a natter, particularly when the somebody is Graham Swain, who is somebody who's been into writing and cars and fast things and motorbikes. And I suppose Route 66 is one of those things that anybody who's ever been to America or had a hankering for a motorcycle, or indeed a classic American car, it was Route 66. Got to do it one day. You've done it, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done the whole original 1926 route, because everybody probably, English speaking, has heard of Route 66, knows the song probably by the Rolling Stones, which wasn't the original. It was Nat King Cole who had the original, just playing the piano, written by Bobby Troup, of course, which I've interviewed. Route 66 is like the American dream. It's the first way west for them. It's the first way across America that anyone could ever drive. As say, 1926, you can imagine the automobile starting, what, 1901. So by about 1925, 26, they started it reliable cars that could travel long distances. And it became synonymous with the Corvette as well, which in the, you know, the early 50s, the Corvette started in 52, I think, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. The original Corvette. And then Route 66 is there, off we go across America. You know, the little motels, you know, the diners across America, all on Route 66. That was the American dream, you know. It was the time of plenty, the time of do what you want. It was the time of freedom, the time of great wealth, wasn't it? You know, it's the boom economy, and it all went synonymous with everything. Route 66 was the first tarmac highway in the Western world, and it goes from Chicago to Los Angeles. It's not coast to coast, as everybody thinks. It goes through 8 states right the way across America.
So what was the reason behind doing it? Because I know there's a CD, you can find out all about this on the website.
Yeah, www.grahamswain.com. Click on Route 66 icon. There is a 10-minute sampler on there which people can listen to, and if they want the CD, they just can email me off the website and let me know where they are, and I'll mail it to them.
So was this something you did off your own back, or was it a sort of long-standing dream? I'm going to do that one day?
I think, like all kids of my age, you and I, Bob, are of that certain age, you know, where we grew up this American dream. It's always something I wanted to do, and because I was working as a feature correspondent on 1017 at the time, the station manager thought it was a great idea. He said, off you go and do it. So off I went with my little recording machine, and I bought this book, which overlaid the original Route 66, because obviously it was deregistered Route 66 when they built the interstates across America. It suddenly ceased to exist. Big mistake, typical Americans. Anything new, build it. Anything old, smash it down and rebuild it. Fortunately, Route 66, 80% of it is still there. You can find it. And now they're marking it all up again now. But we bought this book and it overlaid 40 miles to a page of where Route 66 actually ran. And we took this book, driver, myself and the recording machine, and off we went. There was no particular program. We just went and found everything across as we went across.
What did you do it in?
I'd like to say in a Corvette, but we didn't. We did it in an American car, but it's lovely American dream to do it in an old classic American car, but one, it guzzles about 8 miles to the gallon, and two, they're not very practical. They're like swarmy old boats swanning all over the country. So we just did it in a car. We didn't do it on a Harley because it would sound romantic to do that, but there is a project possibly to film it. We're still looking for backers, and obviously then it will probably be an open-top Corvette we'll do it in.
So what did you make of Route 66? Were you impressed or disappointed?
No, Route 66, if you find the original, you know, don't go down here. A lot of people think they're doing Route 66, but they actually travel lots of it on the actual interstate, which sometimes runs parallel to Route 66. A lot of it's still there. If you stick with Route 66, you go through the one-horse towns that have now ceased to be. They've just died, and it's tumbleweed rolling through the town. You'll go through the town, you'll get to the end of town, there's a sign saying dead end ahead, and it disappears into a field. You then have to go back on the new state, go 5 miles down the road, come off again and find it again. But there's some great bits. I mean, there's a Sick Greaves Pass in Arizona. It's 300 miles long, and it goes up and goes through Oatman, and it's still a Dust Bowl main street. It's still got swing door saloons. They have gunfights on a Friday and Saturday night. It's where Clark Gable and Carol Lombard disappeared for their honeymoon. You remember the big thing in Hollywood where they got married and disappeared? Mm. And apparently their bedroom's still the same, the bed sheets are still the same. A bit smelly now, but you could go in and see it like it is. So you find all those sort of things along the way. I mean, There's loads of things. I mean, Jesse James' Hole in the Wall game, the Missouri Caves, they're on Route 66. The Painted Desert, the Petrified Forest. Cadillac Ranch, where they've got these 10 Cadillacs buried on the Texas Panhandle. They're all buried at the same angle as the Great Pyramids of Egypt, celebrating the gas-guzzling era from the 50s to the 70s in America. And there's all the different American cars from those eras all buried, 10 of them in a row. You know, just sticking out of a flat panhandle desert. There's all those sort of things you find as you go across Springfield, Illinois, the only home that Abraham Lincoln ever owned before he became president of America. That's on Route 66. You've got all of those sort of things all the way down there. And the thing that people don't realise is Route 66 finishes at the end of Santa Monica Pier. Oh. You actually used to be able to drive right down Santa Monica Pier. It actually finishes in the Pacific Ocean.
Well, I never.
Well, there you go. And if you're drunk, you finish in the Pacific Ocean.
So, yeah. So, as somebody who, you know, obviously had the dream, were you impressed?
Yeah.
Or disappointed?
Yeah, I'm impressed. You are impressed. Obviously, coming to the interstates has homogenised the whole of America. You know, the diners are all the same now all the way down. But yes, if you look, you'll find the history. I was impressed. It's a great thing to do. What's been very nice is people that have bought my CD, a lot of them have emailed me subsequently and said, it inspired us, we've gone and done it, loved it.
Mm.
Thank you. Now, that is very nice. It's a great thing to do. I mean, you see so much of America, you just roll across there, the open plains, and get the old FM jukebox going in the car, and off you go, you know. It's great.
I'm going to do it on a Harley one day. OK, Graham Swain is my guest. We'll be back soon with more in the moment. But it's one song we've got to play, really, isn't it? Fab old song, Rolling Stones on Route 66. Graham Swain is my guest, a man who sort of has appeared on the TV, he's done radio stuff, he writes stuff, he's been all over the place. How do you describe yourself, other than a jack-of-all-trades? I mean...
An individual, darling.
Journalist? Journalist?
Broadcast presenter, journalist, and I do vinaigrette parts on television.
Right.
Does that describe it? I suppose it does, really.
You know. Yeah, well, so when was the last thing you did on TV? What was the last thing you did on TV?
Well, of course, there's obviously a time lag. I mean, I film stuff that are coming up. I mean, I'm in the new series of Spooks, which starts in October in Britain. I've already filmed that. I filmed that 3 months ago, and it doesn't go out till October. I filmed in Holby City, which goes out in about 2 months' time, and I filmed that 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously a delay factor in when these things come out. You're never quite sure when they're going to come out.
Mm.
But equally so, you film other parts, you think, oh, I've done brilliantly in that scene, and it gets cut completely. You know, it happened to Christopher Lee on Lord of the Rings, so, I mean, if it happens to him, it can happen to anybody, darlings.
Absolutely right. You also run a music agency.
I do.
In the
UK. For my scenes, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there anything you don't do?
We'll haven't touched on what I've done in the past, have we?
Wearing those shorts, I shouldn't have asked that question. Expat World News is something else that you're involved in. Explain what Expat World News is.
Well, expat, by the very terminology, is people working abroad, expatriates working abroad. It's a global village. We're all spreading out work. You're working over here, Bob. You've been over here for X number of years working here. Okay, here it's a lot easier to keep in touch, but if you're working in Dubai or somewhere like that, it's an internet-based newspaper, rag, whatever you want to call it, and it's regularly updated, regular news features and articles and travel articles go in it. It's a bit like buying a daily rag on the internet, and people subscribe and access it as a result of that, so they can get an English-speaking newspaper anywhere in the world, keeping them up to date with what's going on in the world and back home.
Mm. Interesting idea. Okay, so you do that. What else do you do? I mean, have you got any... I mean, having gone through all these various things that you've done, have you got any sort of... One of these days I'm going to do...
Well, I am writing an autobiography because I've also had other businesses which we haven't touched on yet, which we may well do. But obviously I've led a fairly colourful life, I suppose you could say, in one way and another, and that's called Ground Down and Dusted, still rampaging on. Obviously I'm talking to publishers about that at the moment, but that is in its gestation period at the moment. Yes, we always want to do other things. There's ideas I've got for radio shows. I do chat shows on Radio 5 Live back home on the BBC anyway. So it's just a movement on from there, really. There's always other ideas. I've just read Otto von Bismarck, believe it or not, for a feature movie. And if they get the budget on that, I'm 6 months filming Otto. Do I look like Otto von Bismarck?
I'm going to be very careful here. Okay, so the acting and the filming and all of that sort of stuff goes on. Mm. How about the sort of the writing, the motoring side of this? Are you still doing that?
Yes. I'm selective, because the problem is back home at the moment, if you're a freelancer, obviously I am, I'm a freelancer because I own other businesses like the live music agency. I also own a bar as well back home. Mm. So I work freelance. I don't get contracted to work on a full-time paid basis for anyone. The problem is, it's the laws of supply and demand in the media business. Everybody knows. Everyone's going to university over there and doing media degrees and wafting out onto the market. We all know what's going on. You know, the graded degree means absolutely nothing on paper because they don't have the practical experience. So a lot of magazines are ripping people off over there, and they're paying them £100 for 1,000 words or even more. And then if you get paid at all, and then you wait 6 months for your money. So it's a problem. So you're quite selective in who you write for. I write for the Motor and Leisure magazine. They're very good. I write non-dateline articles. In other words, it's a piece that I'll write which doesn't have a chronological dateline to it. So when it's done, basically. And I've just done an article which is going out in the travel magazine, so I cycle through Cuba for 3 weeks over Christmas and New Year.
Say that again slowly.
I cycle through Cuba for 3 weeks over Christmas and New Year.
Right.
So I've just done an article for travel magazine for that. So, again, and at the moment I'm sorting out doing Namibia this year, and I will do a 3-4 week trip around, driving overland, obviously, as you would expect, being a petrolhead. You just got to do it, baby, haven't you? And I'll do an article on that. So it's a chicken and egg. You either say, okay, I'm going to go and do something. Now, who's going to give me the accreditation, the commission to do it? Mm. Or you go to someone and say, I have an idea, and they say, yep, like it, now go and put it together.
It's one of those things that often fascinates me. You see many of these travel programs on the TV. They're going all over the world. They're doing the great train journeys. They're visiting this, that and the other. So those sort of ideas actually come from the person who's probably doing the program in the first place.
Yes, or if they are a standard presenter on the programme, then of course you've got researchers and producers, and they have think tanks and production meetings, and obviously they get pitched by all the people that want to get their stuff on the programme, obviously. So they're sitting probably there at a big round table, saying, well, we've had this company, this company, this company, they've got this new trip. Just to give an example, as an example, Hadrian's Wall. They're just building a cycle track across Hadrian's Wall now. Right, because this is part of the Sustrans development and all this cycle network all over Britain. So I do quite a bit of cycling. That is opening up, and like the coast-to-coast route, which goes across the largest width, the narrowest width of Britain, Hadrian's Wall will be the same. And there are now companies starting to do a package tour where they move your baggage forward to a B&B every night. So, of course, they will pitch the travel companies to get on the show. Because if they get on a show, you've got, 2, 3, 4, 5 million viewers?
Sure.
If you get 1% return out of that, they've sold out for the next few years, haven't they? So they're going to pitch.
Fascinating lifestyle. We should come back and do some more in just a little while. I said to Graham, choose us a song, and he chose us a Toto track. We'll play that in just a moment here on Coast FM.
New creative design, the kitchen and bedroom specialist.
Classic song, Toto, chosen by our guest this afternoon, Graham Swain, who's just in here with us at the studios at Coast FM for a bit of a natter about his life and stuff. Why did you choose that, Graham? What's that be?
Well, one, because obviously Live 8 is next weekend, isn't it? And Africa, Toto, I thought it's just quite appropriate. And also, it's a really good song. The lyrics are quite well-known and well-meaning. And it's a great live song. If you've ever seen Toto do that live, they roll that ending on the old conga drums and the old crowd gets going. 20 minutes later, you're still bopping away and the hands are going and you're giving it some and you've had a few beers. And it's one of those songs, you know.
Fantastic. Now, we were talking about Route 66, which you did. There are others that you've done and are planning to do too, aren't there, these?
Well, following on from that, there's the Lincoln Highway, which actually a lot of people don't know about, but if you go to most main streets in America, you see Lincoln Boulevard, don't you? Mm. And the reason is because the Lincoln Highway was the first coast-to-coast trail across America. It goes through 13 states, 3,500 miles, and goes from Times Square, New York, to Lincoln Park, San Francisco, and I've driven it all. And it linked up the Mormon Trail, the Pioneer Trail, the Pony Express Trail as the first way west. It was the first dirt trail, the only way to travel across America. Between 1918 and 1928, it was the most important thoroughfare in America until they tarmacked Route 66 in 1926. And it suddenly went into decline. But that's now woken up, and that's being now it's being marked again. It's marker posts going up all the way across America. And I've driven it all, and it's great fun because you really do end up in the wop-wops in the middle of nowhere on this. I stayed with the Amish families one night in their farmhouse. The next night, you end up in a laptop dancing bar in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Then the next day, I'm in a concrete bunker with a greasy haired band pounding it out in the middle of nowhere on a flat plane with like tons of deluge of rain coming down. It's fantastic because you're really going through the backwoods all the way across America. I spent 4 weeks driving across, and that was a real event, I assure you. And that's the next project, to try and get that one up and running. Following on from that, I've driven most of the major highways in the world. I've driven the Stuart Highway, and they only tarmacked half of the Stuart Highway, which goes from Darwin to Adelaide, right through the centre of Australia. Only half of that was tarmacked in 1985. Up until then, it wasn't tarmacked. And you get those big road trains, those 4-6-long-length lorries, they just thunder straight all the way across Australia. So I've driven the Stuart Highway. So there's a series which I'm working on, and obviously I need a lot of money to back it, called The Legend That Is, .. and go off and film these all the way across the world. I think it would make a great TV series, I really do.
Mm. I mean, are there such things, I mean, you can understand in America and Australia, are there such routes in Europe, for example?
Yep, I mean, there's Route E6 in Norway, which is the longest highway in Europe. I've driven that. It goes right up the backbone of Norway, right to the North Cape, which is the most northerly point in the Western Hemisphere. After that, you've just got Greenland. So that's 1,600 miles long. Goes right all up through the Norwegian fjords. Fantastic drive. Everyone should go and do that drive. It's a real holiday doing that. If you do it in June, it's 24 hours daylight. You know, you never go to bed.
Yeah.
You party all the time. You know, you have to pull the shutters to make yourself think it's nighttime. There's loads of places. There's the Alaska Highway, the fantastic engineering feat. The Americans built that highway all the way for the war, didn't they? The war effort to build all the road up there. There's those sort of roads. There's, I could carry on, but I won't blind you with science anymore. But there are a lot of these highways all the way across Europe. And I think there's a series of probably about 10 or 12 roads running over probably a six-part series for each of these particular roads.
Fantastic. Okay, so that is one sort of iron in your fire. Mm. There are many other irons in the fire, probably some of them nothing at all to do with media. Run through those for us briefly.
What, you mean in terms of my work?
Mm, what else do you do?
I own a bar as well, but I leased that out. I also got the live music agency, as you know. I do voiceovers as well.
Right.
I won't do it here and embarrass you, but I do voiceovers, and do, as you probably do, and we all do if we're in the media along the way, we do some of that sort of stuff. I write other sort of articles as well, not necessarily motoring articles. I write an article for the Stage newspaper about the argument between digital music and analog music, because there's actually did you know that ABBA were the first band to ever record digital music?
Oh, right.
Way before anybody else
did. Didn't know that.
And everyone cottoned on much later how they did that multi-layered sound.
Mm-hmm.
They were so far ahead of everybody else. So there's all those. I'm also a trivia chest. I've got the mine of useless information. Nothing useful or useless. I'm serious. You ask me anything stupid and I can tell you, but anything sensible I can't tell you. I mean, here's a pop trivia quiz for everybody out there. When Queen were number one with Bohemian Rhapsody, within the lyrics of their song, they sing the title of another song that was in the top 10 by another world supergroup, which subsequently took over the number one spot.
Right. Yes, I know this. I've heard this question before. Mamma Mia.
Yes,
that's
ABBA.
The one.
Well done. Take a gold star, Bob.
Yes, yeah, I mean, we're both of the same.
We are.
Both of the same ilk, I think, is possibly the way of putting it.
Yeah.
Graham, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. You're back to the UK tomorrow?
I am, actually.
Yeah?
The good old sleazy jet.
To what?
I'm back straight away to sort the bands out, because they've been plunking their G strings while I've been away, and I've got to sort them out. I've got some work to do on Radio 5 Live when I get back. And I have some filming commitments. I've read for a feature film called The Passion of Henry Durant, which actually is the person who invented the Red Cross. And it's all set in the Prussian-French Wars, and I'm playing the part of Otto von Bismarck, as I said before.
Mm.
Which, of course, I look equally handsome as him.
Yes, I'm not going to comment. We'll move on from here. It's been great talking to you, Graham.
Thank
all
you.
The very best of that. And when do we see you back on the Casablanca?
That depends on lots of circumstances. You never know. Watch this space.
Well, perhaps you might get you doing your own show on this radio station one of these days.
I think so. Those out there, anyone want a classic rock show, shout at the station and I'll come back and do it.
Yes, got to be done. Graham, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, Bob.
Good luck.